I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Blessing to be here again with you all. Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Where we'll begin this morning.
I think it's on now.
Well,
does that mean it's going to go off?
Yeah.
Okay.
Battery's dead. Are they new?
Let's see if it lights up. It's going to go out. I don't know if we have any charged.
All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy to us. Lord, we just ask, Father, your blessing. Father, upon this time together, Lord, we pray that you'd give us wisdom, Father, understanding. Lord, fill us with your spirit, God. Again, we just thank you for all that you do for us. Help us be faithful to you and bring glory to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Well, I appreciated the boys' lesson this morning, talking about how to encourage others. It's a real encouragement just listening to what they were saying. Let's again open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to begin in verse 6. The Bible says, "And without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." And then it goes on to explain what this faith is, that, and how the men who had that faith and how they and what it meant to respond. You know, we've got a little definition of faith, and you know, we've all heard that about faith, and everybody has faith in something. You know, even the atheists believe in their own self-sufficiency or their own doctrines. They have faith. The problem is, it's just not in the right place. You know, everyone has faith in something. If nothing else, in themselves. You know, they may not acknowledge it, but they have faith in something. And the important thing, the dividing thing here of what real faith is where our faith is at. Our definition of faith is, true faith is like these men, like the Bible talks about here. The true definition of faith is our response to God's claim on our lives.
He's going to go get some, but I've got one.
Okay. It's all right, Will. Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah. Very good. Okay. It's like this microphone. We hope it works. That is not faith. That's a hope. And I think what most people have is hope that Jesus is going to do what he says he is. And they have all their faith built in that hope. But faith... Real faith in something is a response to that hope, or that what God's claim on our lives. You know, and there's a difference between hope. Like I said, a lot of people have hope that what they're believing is right. A lot of people have hope that Jesus will save them. A lot of people have hope of all of those things. But there's a difference between that hope and faith. Faith is an actual response to God's claim on our life. And that's just this evidence here. We've talked about Noah. Read this. But being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. And we've told the story before. You know, Floyd brought it out this morning about faith and works. You know, if he told about his children, you know, if he told them to do something and they were really busy all day doing something else, but they didn't do what he said, they really didn't believe him. And that's where faith comes in. You know, whenever God tells us to do something, to really believe it, to really get it down to our wills, to where we make a choice about something. You know, because this is my will against God's. And when I surrender my will in obedience to Him, then that's where our faith is, because we really trust what we believe in. If we believe in ourselves, we don't give up on our own will. We believe in ourselves. If we believe in our doctrine, we don't give up on our doctrine. We believe in our doctrine. But to believe in God, you've got to lay all of that aside. You know, here, Noah, it had never rained. And here, God told him to build an ark. He didn't have any idea what was going to happen or why. God told him to build an ark. Or how it was going to happen. He told him it was going to rain. He was going to send a flood. But he didn't know anything about it other than God told him to. And so he went out and started doing it. And he built this ark to the saving of his family, and the saving of the seed that would produce Christ. He believed God. You know, we've told it before. He could have went out and started building churches. He could have went out and just been an evangelist and been really busy trying to tell people about God. But then when the rain came, they would have all drowned. But he believed God and he built this ark. And that's the story. All you have to do is read Hebrews chapter 11. Everybody makes a big deal about it being the faith chapter. And you read all these things. Every one of these people didn't just believe in God. They believed what God told them to do and they acted on it. They responded to God's claim or God's demand on their life, and that's what faith is. You know, one of the brothers been having some contact with some people and asking what the difference is, you know, well, what we're trying to do here. And one of the responses was, you know, he goes to a church that has everything all figured out, and basically they trust in their church. And we've shared before, you know, how we let each individual make his choice to follow Jesus. We try to keep the practice, that we want to keep the practices that Jesus taught and the principles. But as far as laying down a law or an ordinance about it, that's not up to us. Our responsibility is to be faithful ourselves, each one of us. And as we do that, it takes faith to believe that the organization or the church is God's church, not ours. To set all these things and parameters and rules and try to preserve it. It's not our responsibility for the church to last two generations. Our responsibility is for the church to last right now. And by faith, as we live out that right now, the rest is in God's hands, no matter what happens to it. But the only way it will actually go forward is if we do what we're supposed to today. Then we have something to pass forward instead of some dead skeleton of a religious program. It's not what we're interested in. We want to live this faith by faith. You know, that one of the verses up above, the very first verse in this chapter says, now faith is the assurance of things. You know, a lot of people put on what it is that now faith does. But now faith means now faith. That means today faith. It means the faith that is alive at the moment. Not the faith that we're going to pass something on or preserve something. It's now faith. And that's the foundation that this whole chapter of faith is built on. Is now faith. Today faith. And that's what our hope is. You know, a lot of people have a lot of different things that they're trusting in. You know, we hear of individuals, you know, or we see churches that seem to have a lot of things right. You know, a lot of good attitudes, even. A lot of good efforts. You know, and we can do this. We can just be going through the motions and not have faith. But our faith is letting loose of ourselves. You know, one of the things we've said before is to recklessly abandon yourself to God. Just let it go. It'll be fine. Trust in Him. Jesus said, if we come to Him and don't deny ourselves, we can't even get to Him. So oftentimes we're so caught up in whether I'm going to be saved or not. You know, whether I'm doing good enough or not. And it seems reckless to just let all that go and drop it all. But what we do is when we recklessly abandon ourselves to God, that's where the faith comes in. See, we've got to lay down our efforts at good works and our efforts at all these things that are going to be impressive. We got to lay all that down and abandon ourselves and give ourselves to God. It's working, Mike. Let's just wait until it gets done.
Okay, I've got some batteries.
Okay. Our hope didn't get us very far.
No. Close.
Fastest one in the tire changes in the pit crew. All right. Our by faith is what we're after, and that reckless abandonment of ourselves to God. And you know, the thing about it is a lot of people, you know, they hear faith and they say not works, so they don't do anything. They miss it. And recklessly abandoning ourselves, we can do the same thing and just, I'm just going to throw this away and just live however I want to. And we miss it. But we recklessly abandon ourselves to the Lord. Like I said, we see churches all around us and people all around us that say all the right things. They're doing a lot of the right things. But you know, the principles of God will work every time they're tried. The principles that God lays out. We can have faith in anything and still follow His principles and still be successful in how it appears. The difference is we keep God's principles, but it's by faith. And there's just, you can't see the difference. Sometimes, that's why it's going to take the judgment day. That's why Jesus said, you know, the wheat are growing with the tares, and Jesus said, leave them alone. You can't tell the difference, basically, because you're trying to, you'll uproot some of the wheat with the tares if you try to sort it out by now. We can't do that. That's why we're not set up to be judges. We live by faith. And that's almost indistinguishable sometimes. That's where that trust comes in. That's where that reckless abandonment comes in. That we're going to be faithful. We're going to keep on going. And our faith's not in a church. It's not in an organization. It's not in the fellowship we have. Our faith is in Christ. And Him raising from the dead. Him still being in power. You know, it's not about the sign down the road that says, you know, duct tape fixes a lot of things, but three nails and a cross fix everything. I beg to differ. It's not three nails and a cross that fix anything. It's not just a death that fixes anything. It's God in control that fixes everything. And when it says fixes everything, it doesn't mean everything's going to go smooth from now on. You know, the boys talked about, a couple of them talked about having troubles, you know, and going through troubles. We've said it before, you know, it's those hard times that strengthen us. And I want to turn to Philippians here in just a moment. Philippians chapter 4. Not that I speak from want. Verse 11. Well, we'll just begin in verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. And then he says, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstances, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. You know, this this phrase here, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. The things that God sends our way that are uncomfortable, things we don't like. You know, I read a book several years ago, 40 years ago, and there was a little phrase in there that just completely has, I've tried to let it shape my life. And that little phrase was, make work your friend. Make work your friend. You know, we hear people complaining and grumbling because they have to do something. And I've said it, used to tell the boys, it used to make them mad. If you want to do something, you don't have to do something. If you want to do it, you don't have to do it. You know, it sounds like they're going to get out of it, but when you think about it, if you want to, you don't have to. You're going to do it, but if you want to, you don't have to. Some of you young people maybe haven't heard that saying. If you want to do something, you don't have to do it. That's the heart of that came from that little phrase that I learned a long, long time ago. Make work your friend. You know, like I said, if there's a job to do, enjoy doing it, even if it isn't enjoyable. One of the boys said, it goes a lot easier. You know, when there's a smile on your face going through it. And this is a principle. You can do all this without faith. This was in a secular book that I read this in. The Richest Man on Earth is what I think was the little title of the book. But this is one of the principles that he learned. That make work your friend. You know, and we can take that principle. Make suffering your friend. Make pain your friend. You know, a lot of times we fight pain. We fight struggle. We fight things. And that just makes it 10 times worse. But if you just kind of roll with it, and this is here to help me, and make it your friend, then you have an ally right there built in everything you do. But if we're fighting life and we're fighting struggle, we'll never get to that place where I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. One of the ways Paul got to this place where he could live this way was because he knew that whatever came on him, the Lord allowed it. And so instead of seeing that thing as his enemy, he made it his friend. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're afraid of, if you'll make that thing your friend, it ain't your enemy anymore. And it ain't the big monster that you're dreading anymore. Embrace what God sends your way. You know, we're worried about doing great things for God. Why not just live great things for God in a humble circumstance? Being content in whatever place He's put us. You know, right there's how we really live faith. You know, we're not trying to impress God by doing a whole bunch of extra things. And that's what happens whenever we're trying. When God tells us to do something, I don't know how many people I've saw that get converted and they know God's will. And they know what God wants them to give up or to do. And they won't do it. But boy, they become the most inspirational youth leaders or the best preachers. Promoting things. And they're trying to compensate because they don't want to go through something that God wants them to go through. That's why we talk about embracing the cross. And right here's the key to taking up your cross. Whatever happens to you, whatever God gives to you, for your obedience and you're following Him. Maybe people turn against you. Maybe they shun you. Maybe you get kicked out of somewhere. Maybe you embrace the suffering that God gives with it. Make it your friend. Instead of crying and moaning and fighting and whining about it. You know, God could take away whatever He wanted to from you. When we give ourselves to God, I've told you before, I've gave my family to God years and years ago. Little did I know. You know, I thought, well, I'll give them to God and He can make them missionaries or something. Boy, I'd love to have my children have died in a mission field somewhere. I would just love that. Little did I know, when I gave them to God, He'd say, you've got some suffering to go through. Here's a cross that comes with that. And I could fight it, be fighting it, or I could make it my friend and learn to live with it and to actually love that old cross that God gives by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You know, there's a lot of people that are in situations that they're just asked to lay down their faith to go along with the church. They're asked to lay down their faith or their convictions of what God wants them to do just to go along with everybody. Because it would cost them their family, their friends, their church membership. They might get a black mark put on them. You know, they used to get burned at the stake. They used to get hung up by their thumbs. You know, there's a lot of people who have gone through a lot worse than some group of men deciding that you're not going to be a part of our little club. Learn how to just embrace that, things that you're afraid of, and make them your friend. Now faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Lay yourself down. Take up your cross and follow. And that might be through big, glorious ways. Or it might be just you raising your family. It might just be you going to work every day and being happy all day long when you have to put in a little extra, or you have to do twice as much as everybody else. Don't look at what you're doing. Make those things your friend. You know, God's just wanting us to be faithful right where we are. You know, sometimes we want to get to church. I remember when we were young, you know, and in the Lord and all excited. And, you know, we'd just get so caught up in talking about the Lord. And a lot of times look up and our children would be way off where they wasn't supposed to be doing. But we're talking about spiritual things. All exciting, yeah. But being faithful is being faithful with what God has given us or the responsibilities given. We need to be taking care of our children. I know it's fun to talk about spiritual things, but being faithful is not letting your child be a little brat running around tormenting everybody else that was trying to talk about spiritual things. Not their child not running over all the ladies as they're trying to talk about things. You know, we got responsibilities. And just taking care of it's a little thing. It just seems so simple. And that's being faithful. And that's all what by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And these men, all that we talked about, all by faith, they were just doing the simple little things that God wanted them to do. They were at one with God. They weren't trying to invent a whole bunch of new things they need to do to please God or impress Him. They were just trying to be faithful right there. You know, Moses spent 40 years out in the wilderness with a promise. You know, we see the 2-minute highlight clips of their lives. We forget that these people in the Bible often spent years and years in total obscurity just being faithful right where they were. And then comes along and God asks them something and they go do it. Boom, they got their name in the Bible. And that's all we read about. We don't read about the years of their life that they were just faithful. But the only reason they got their name in the Bible is because they lived out all of those years. So that when God asked them to do something extraordinary, they just did it. Some happier than others. But those are principles we can learn by making the struggles, making the boring, making whatever God sets in our way our friend instead of our enemy. May God add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? Maybe we'll save those things. We'll have the share this evening after you've thought about it just a little bit. Maybe we'll have some time. I'll ask that again after a while. So. All right, we'll meet back at 6 o'clock, Lord willing. God bless y'all. Part peace.